I think it's hideous that you're casting aspersion on gay Barnellis.
Okay.
I got my feet in cement. I got my head in the clouds. You might call me demented, but I am too damn proud. I got a hunger for something outside the status quo. So pull up your chair. We are full automatic. We are out and about. We are singing hallelujah with our hearts torn out. No need to beat on what you already know. Your place has been set.
And hello, ladies. Well, hello, ladies. It's really cold here in Minneapolis, and I'm near death. But anyway, welcome to another episode of Eat This Hot Show. I'm Wanda Wisdom. I'm your hostess with not very much at the moment. Feel free to donate to my cause. And I've got a couple other wayward homeless trannies. On my left, virtually speaking, of course, I have Madge Weinstein of Yeast Radio.
Hi, everyone. How are you doing? I'm Jewish, and I'm in southern Chicago, where it's 0 degrees, I think, is what it is.
It's zero. Zero. I love how the people in Chicago act like it's cold. Like, they did this thing on the Weather Channel, and they had these people in Chicago. Oh, it's so cold. I'm like, come up here. Try to, you know.
Is it colder up there?
What oh, my got? God. It's negative 27,
Well, I'm
honey.
Glad you two are enjoying the show you're doing together. You want to fucking introduce me, please?
Hey, it's not always about you.
Yeah, well.
On my right, virtually speaking, I've got Vera, rather Auntie Vera Charles, because she's older. And Auntie Vera Charles of VeraSpeaks.com.
Hi, hello. How the fuck are you?
She's your Auntie Vera. Loveys. Loveys.
The panties.
She's
So yeah, it's loveys. 27 degrees with the wind chill here in Minneapolis.
No. Fuck wind chill. Tell me what temperature it really is. Wind chill
negative
is just...
7. Sorry.
Okay, so this is still
big
cold.
Deal.
It's negative 7?
Yes. That's I think the low tonight is going to be, you know, like 20 below.
It's 83
for our international audience. For our international audience, that means Fahrenheit. In Celsius, it's a lot lower than that.
Yes. Yeah, but somebody said, you know, in Winnipeg, it's like with the wind chill 50 below. I was like, yeah, but it's still Winnipeg. I mean, it sucks whether it's 70 or 50 below.
Many people
Ooh,
would say
Canada
that about
bashing.
Chicago and
Canada bashing.
Minneapolis. But you know, Wanda.
Indianapolis, what?
Minneapolis.
Okay.
The thing is, Wanda, is that don't you hate, and Vera, don't you hate when, afterthought, when people
yeah, no
complain
shit.
About the weather and they're in places where it ain't going to fucking change when you complain about it? Like, hello, when you live in Chicago, it's going to be fucking cold. When you live in Minneapolis, it's going to be really fucking cold. And when you live in Los Angeles, I'm sorry to say, my Auntie Vera Charles, but it's going to be hot. Deal with it.
I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I want some winter. Sometimes we do get winter here. Sometimes during January and February, which is our rainy season, it actually rains. Right now, it's hot, it's windy, and it's dry, and it pisses me the fuck off.
Well, call the Snowmaster. What's his name? Snowmiser?
I'm Mr.
Call him.
Snowmiser.
I'm sure you can conjure him up in one of your vocal cords, Vera.
I'm Mr. White Christmas. I'm Mr. Snow. I'm Mr. Icicle. I'm Mr. Ten Below. Whatever I touch turns to snow in my clutch. I'm too much.
How do you know I didn't perform him?
Well, you're not that fucking old.
Well,
Jesus
I don't know if
Christ.
I go that far, but Methuselah rings a bell.
That was wasn't that like Mickey Rooney or something? It's probably somebody really.
I think it was Mr. Snow. You know, I
think it was Dick Shawn.
Who's that?
An actor. I think it was Dick Shawn who was a snow miser. I think Danny Kaye was in one of those things, and I don't know.
All I know is that that was the weirdest.
I loved it.
Christmas movie. That one in particular was.
I'm sorry. It was Rankin Bass jumping the shark. I mean, they had done all the Rudolphs and everything, and they had wrung them dry, and so they were desperate to come up with more.
It really was rather creepy. I was watching it with a gentleman around Christmas time, and we both just about halfway through were like, what? Okay, let's turn it off, because we were kind of creeped out. Seriously.
I liked it.
It's very drug-induced.
I really liked it. I have had many hairstyles inspired by that short film.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, girl. God, it's just a, crazy cavalcade of nothing. On
You're the host.
Program.
You got to get her down.
Oh.
Carry us, Mary.
I just looked it up. The Snow Miser was played by Dick Shawn.
Dick Shawn. He's just someone I've really never given a rat's ass about.
I've never heard
did
of
you
him.
Ever, did Shawn. You ever see the movie It's a Mad, 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 Mad
oh,
World?
Oh, yes. 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 Love that movie.
I love it, too. Dick Shawn plays Ethel Merman's wayward son.
Oh, the one who's always like, yeah, baby.
That's it. That's Dick Shawn. You got a baby who can give me 31 flavors. And we like tutti frutti there. I call him ice cream dough. He'll be the
boy I know. Go, go, baby, go.
Okay. I'll have to watch it again now that I know that.
Wow. It's a wonderful, funny movie.
The people of Gaza need food, and
Dick Shawn. You know what amazes me about that movie is that Ethel Merman looked great in it.
Yeah, but she did.
But she died 20 years later, and she looked like hell. I mean, she must have been like late 50s, early 60s when she did that.
I don't know how old she was.
Or no, you know what? Wait a second. How old was she when she died? I know she died in like 1983 or something.
I'll look her up. Hang on.
Yeah, because maybe...
Well, that movie was in the 60s, right? So that would have been some 20 years
I think it was
later.
In the late 60s. Yeah, yeah. So I was thinking she died in her 80s and then she was in her 60s. Maybe she died in her 60s.
No, she was certainly in her 70s at least. She was old.
She was born in 1908 and she died in 1984.
Okay.
84.
She was about 60 in that movie, right? Would you say it was 1968 or so?
Or yeah, the movie was like in the mid to late 60s.
So she looked great for 60. And then it was just interesting how like 20 years later, she really looked her age, you know? It depressed me.
Well, it's the speed-up system. You get to a certain age and decline is very fast. Like it happened with, it's happening, I should say, with my father. Very, very, very robust until about 80, I think, I'm trying to think of 80, how old is he now? 1921 would make him 87.
A thousand.
So, up till about 83, things started going wrong. But up until then, he was just as robust as hell. You'd never believe that he was an 83-year-old man. But then, physical health things start tearing you down. And you don't have your body doesn't have the resilience anymore in its 80s.
That's what my dentist said. She says, the mind stays young. The body, you're basically a young person until you're 80. And that's when the body goes. And that's when shit really falls apart. But until then, you pretty much can be the same person you've always been. I mean, obviously, unless you get a debilitating illness like...
I think that's the key, though. I really think that as long as your body stays relatively healthy, you can be vivacious and young. God, Hepburn was until she broke her foot. Catherine Hepburn was in her mid to late 80s, and she was vibrant as all fuck. She
shouldn't have broken her foot. She should have stayed off that foot.
Norman, do me up the back door. Make me a woman, Norman. Do me. Do me, bitch, right now up the back door.
You're my knight in shining prolapse.
Okay, well, thanks for that. I was thinking
about
Betty Davis.
Wander.
I was thinking of Bette Davis, too. She was one of those people that up until about...
She had her stroke.
Yeah.
Because then
all of a sudden she became Gollum. You know, like, you see these clips of her interviews, like, in the last couple of years or whatever, and she just became a different person.
Is she still alive or not?
Bette Davis? No, she's been Bette dead died. Since the early 90s, I think.
Yeah, Bette died.
That's so sad. I hate that when I watch a movie and I know that everybody in it is dead. I just think that's so depressing.
It's creepy. You know, we watch movies and do the exact... I do it. Actually, Gooch says, shut up about it already, but I do it all the time. I'll point and I'll say, see that little boy? He's dead right now.
Yeah, of old
dead.
Age. Like, you'll
God,
see,
how
yeah.
horrible.
You'll see,
I bet
like,
it's really like fun at your house.
What was that movie that Nanette Fabre was in? I saw an interview. She was in it as a little girl. She was not a little girl, but she was a young adult, 16. It was her first role. She was playing, it was Bette Davis. Oh, it was Queen Elizabeth I, the movie about Queen Elizabeth, Elizabeth in Essex. And she played one of her chambermaids. And she was so young and beautiful. And they interviewed her because she's the only one that was alive during the time that they did the DVD boring shit for the, you know, History Channel or whatever the hell it's called. Mm-hmm. She was the only one alive, and she's like 1,000 years old, looking all.
She doesn't have like, a she doesn't have a nose anymore,
right? I don't think she ever did.
Nanette Fabre's nose has gone away completely.
Did she ever have a nose?
Well, she had an itsy bitsy tiny one that I think was doctored to death, and now it's just she's got two holes in her face now.
Well,
there's no.
It says here she was only born in 1920, so she's only in her almost 90 now, 88.
You know, 88, I'm an I Love Lucy freak and have been an I Love Lucy freak my whole life, and I've watched I Love Lucy my whole life up until this point, and now I look at it and I'm older than everybody but Fred.
Well, that's good. At least you're not older than Fred.
I know, but soon I'll be older than Fred, and then it'll be just all over.
How
if
old
I make
was
it that
Fred?
Way.
I always thought he just looked old. How old was he?
Bill Frawley, I think, was in his 70s doing I Love Lucy.
Oh, my God.
Well, how
really?
Old was Lucy and Desi when they were shooting
Lucy
the
was in her early 40s, and Desi,
good, so.
Actually mid-40s, and Desi was in his early 40s.
That's amazing, because they all looked pretty young for their, except for, even Bill, what's-his-face?
William
name?
Frawley.
William. Yeah.
Now, what was the story? Those two hated each other, didn't they?
Yeah,
Ethel and Fred in real life, didn't they hate each other? Because she wanted somebody else to play him.
Vivian Vance and William Frawley didn't get along at all. As a matter of fact, they had... I wish I had the quotes, because you'd really appreciate the quotes, Madge, how they spoke of one another. But she resented the fact that they chose a man that was 20 years older than her to play... or 25 to 30 years older than her to play her husband.
Yeah, that's gross.
And it started off, it started off from the very beginning that they
but
were
I
adversarial.
Thought I read somewhere that or heard, may have even been from you, that she wanted somebody else to play that role. So she was very
resentful. Lucy and Desi wanted Gail Gordon to play the role. Gail Gordon had been in her radio show, My Favorite Husband.
Well, then it would have been a lesbian program. That was that would have been way ahead of its time.
No, Gail
well,
Gordon's
he ended up
a man.
Being on her the Lucy show, right?
Exactly. Later on, Gail Gordon wasn't available during I Love Lucy. They wanted for Fred and Ethel Mertz. They originally wanted Gail Gordon and Bea Benaderet, but neither one were available. And so they found Vivian Vance was doing a play in Pasadena, and it just happened that Desi went to see this play and saw Vivian Vance, and then told Lucy, "We found our Ethel."
That's going to happen with me and my podcast, I think.
I think so.
You know, it's okay that I'm sitting here playing with my vulver. It's okay because someday somebody's going to discover me.
I want to know what happened to, later on, because the Lucy show and stuff, all that sucked. Like, could they just not get good writers?
Yeah, the Lucy show was horrible.
In my opinion, my humble opinion, what they were trying to do is they were trying to recreate stuff that they had already done. If you follow the scripts and the plots of all of the Lucy shows, all incarnations of it, they're basically rehashing situations that they did in I Love Lucy. But what's really interesting about that, because the writers actually came from her radio show, which is where she started with this character, she was, I think, Lucy Lopez on the radio show, but
mm-hmm.
she she was she, you know, the wacky redhead. But the writers on the radio show, just when they wrote I Love Lucy scripts, they basically took the scripts from the radio show and translated them into television, and then added on other, you know,
funny,
the longer
so
that
much
I love
it seems like it was visual, you know, like the candlestick, that famous candlestick, that's my spoof of it, the chocolate factory,
right,
the slapstick.
Yeah, a lot of the later seasons, of course, they ran out of stuff to write about. But if you watch The Lucy Show and then Here's Lucy, yeah. The scripts are basically rehashed.
Why weren't they funny the second time they rehashed them?
Because we were a different, it was a different world, you know, and it's in color. She's older. We've seen her do it before. You know, we've seen her fumble trying to get all the chocolates.
You know, I think part of it, a big part of it was the voice. Her voice became really crappy.
Always felt like she had a shitty, like, second half, like
don't you
second
think so?
Act.
I mean, it's like she had a cigarette voice, a really bad one.
Well, and she, you know, like the movies she did after that, and MAME was just the most horrible train wreck.
Well, a lot, you know, her personal life was really, with Desi, was horrible because they absolutely cherished and worshipped and loved each other. But he was a womanizing, you know, he loved prostitutes, and she just couldn't stand it. And they couldn't stand to be away from each other, but they could, that when they were together, all they did was fight. And then he started drinking during I Love Lucy, in the middle of the run of I Love Lucy, and you know, people would say that you had to get to Desi before 10:30 in the morning, because if you didn't, he was already, you know, he was gone. You couldn't really talk to him.
Remember, wasn't he on was it Saturday Night Live, that famous one, like his last public appearance? Not Saturday Night Live. It was Tonight Show maybe or something.
Remember.
I don't know, but he just looked fat and bloated and.
Well, what's really the saddest part of it is that his son, Desi Jr., was also an addict and went through the program and got sober and clean and cleaned up. And then Desi had moved to
one that dated Patty Duke or something?
Yeah, that's Desi Arnaz Jr.
Yeah.
Anyway, he eventually helped his father to clean up his act, and his father got clean and sober, but then died shortly after that. The love that they had, the two of them had, never went away. It's just that they couldn't live with each other.
You know, I googled Gail Gordon while you were talking, and I think that would have been awful if he had been Fred.
Yeah, the serendipitous things that happened. I've read, as you can tell, because I'm spouting all this stuff. I've read book after book after book about I Love Lucy and about how it came about and the life of. There's a fantastic documentary that Lucy Jr. made I can't remember what the fuck it's called now, I'm sorry, but it's Home Movies, A Home Movie, Lucy and Desi, A Home Movie.
Oh, cool.
And, I think I remember that. Yeah.
Oh, it's fantastic because the kids did it, and it's all of these photographs and letters that Lucy and Desi wrote to each other and really their life together, and they're very candid about the fact how it ended and how bad it got towards the end between Lucy and Desi, and it's a fascinating documentary. But it was so serendipitous how nobody wanted Bill Frawley. Desi loved William Frawley, but William Frawley had a reputation for being a drinker and a gambler and unreliable.
Which is what Desi eventually became, obviously.
Exactly what Desi eventually became. You're absolutely right. But Desi was saying to everyone, including the powers that be at that time, it's Bill Frawley. Since we can't get Gail Gordon, it's Bill Frawley or it's nobody. And he had a conversation with Frawley and made Frawley promise that alcohol would never be an issue while they're working. And it never was, ever. He kept his word. And ironically, Desi ended up being the one that drink became a problem for him. Are we still here? I'm hearing Skypey sounds.
No, I was hearing that too. I don't know where that's coming
from. That was not, I hope, well, it might have gone through. That was my cell phone.
Was that your vagina?
It was my vagina. You know how sometimes when your cell phone's too close to electronics, it does weird things? That's what happens.
Oh, yeah.
I have a question. So we're all sort of, performance people, right?
Yes.
It's safe to say.
I mean, loosely.
Lucy. I want to know sort of what movie star or actor or celebrity do you kind of identify with and you sort of, you know, see yourself? Like, you know, you ever watch movies of either of these, of either the celebrities and think, that's me, or that I identify with that, or I don't know. Is that a
you talking
question?
About person? You talking about personal life, or you talking
yes.
about screen personas
or movies? I mean, you know, like just you're sitting there and you identify with the journey that someone's on, whether it's real or fictitious. I guess.
I think that that's why people identify with movies so strongly. I did a critique a little while ago on my show of Brokeback Mountain, and I got this incredibly emotional email mm-hmm. about because I didn't particularly care for the film, and this person was so personally involved and identified so strongly with the movie that he was attacking me for my opinion of it, because I think what he felt was that I was attacking, you know, the
him.
And so I think, you know, you got a really good point, Wanda, that I think that we really identify very strongly with films. I think we identify with characters and actors, and that's why movies are so hugely a part of our society. It's not just let's watch and enjoy. It's, oh my God, I understand that. I feel that. I know that feeling.
It's also an easy way to get a life without actually having to do anything.
True.
Well, that's, yeah, you can live vicariously through everything.
I can't think of anybody who I identify with. I mean, I really just, I don't know. See, that's the thing when you have, I had an interesting time. You know, I had dinner with my friend Terry C. Period, who doesn't let me use his real name, for his birthday. And there were these two lesbians there. I think I told the story. I was wearing this horrible dress. I showed the picture of my lesbian red dress. And I said, did I tell this story before on this show?
No,
I don't think so.
Okay, so I showed this picture because I have this horrible picture of me wearing this dress that somebody gave to me because lesbians gave it to her and it was hideous. So it has all these like very, it's very angular and it's polyester. It's one size fits 1,000 and it is ugly and has those black figures. So it's, you know, it's like red with these black, severe Maya Angelou-esque things. You know, something like Erykah Badu would wear if she had absolutely no taste. But fortunately, she does. So anyway, so I showed these to these very wealthy and, you know, sort of fashionable lesbians, but they're old. And they, you know, they're cool usually. I thought I could get a joke by them. Anyway, I showed them a picture of me wearing this dress in front of the toilet, making this ugly face. And I said, look, isn't this the most lesbian dress you've ever seen? No offense. And the one of them looked at it, and she puts on her bifocals, or her, you know, special reading glasses. She's a lawyer, really, like big-time lesbo. And she looks at it, she says, in her smoker's voice, don't you ever refer to this dress as a lesbian dress again in your life. I said, why? She said, because it's ugly. And I was pickled. I had nothing to say. I was speechless.
But didn't you say in response, as a lesbian, proud lesbian yourself, that's the point, Mary?
I don't have that much kahuni.
Please, you're the queen of kahuni.
But I want to talk about, you talk about identification. I would love to say I could identify with Tina Fey because I think she's so wonderful. But there was something in particular I identified with that I'm sure we could all identify with this week when she accepted the Golden Globes. Mm-hmm. Did you see her acceptance speech for the Golden Globes?
No, I didn't see the Golden Globes.
She basically said, you know, thanks, blah, blah, blah. I don't know what she won it for, 30 Rock or something. And then she said, and for you, you know, she basically went through a list of people that have been dissing her on her web blog. Like,
oh,
she's like, and Shadow 138, see, you know, smoke this one or try this one on for size and see, you know, Witchcraft 93. Now all you see, you know,
she's doing is she's making them famous by talking about them. And I think that she really, I did see that section, and Gooch and I were talking about it, the fact that she made these people famous, you know, and that's okay if that's what you want to do, but why mention them?
But are
you know,
they
why
right
mention,
people? I mean, are those really
you think she oh, I see. Well, that's entirely possible. I always take, this is one of my weaknesses. Uh-huh. I always take people at face value for what they're saying as being the truth. And I think that that's probably
what the hell is strange considering your profession. I mean, yeah. I would think you'd see through all the illusions.
You, yeah, that is a lie. You're lying.
She called you out.
Well, you know, you're right in one sense. Let me qualify what I just said. In my personal life, if I am looking at you eye to eye, I know if you're lying. I know it. Really? It's an instinct that I know. Absolutely. I need to look at your eyes and I'll know it. However, if I'm watching someone on TV or if I'm watching an interview, my tendency is to believe what they're saying. My tendency, if I listen to a podcast of one of you two babbling on, I believe what is coming out of your mouth. That is my first instinct.
Danger.
I know.
Don't believe. That's interesting though, because you do.
That makes no sense.
Not really. But the second part
of what
you
said doesn't make
sense. I think the second part of what you said pays tribute to, in Madge's case anyway, this is my opportunity to suck the wet farts out of your ass.
Oh, well, yeah, you are. It's been a while, so go ahead.
Yeah, well, true. But it's a testament to the quality, the measure of her character, shall we say.
That makes no sense.
Or lack thereof.
You believe that words that come out of her mouth mean that she's, you know, she's doing a good job.
You're talking
so
about
I think,
Tina Fey? I don't understand what
you... I'm just saying you're portraying yourself aptly. I know it's hard for you to understand the nuance of your character and all, even though it's you, but you know what I mean.
You're trying to confuse my mind. And while I'm
sorry. Okay, let's move on to something else.
The thing is, I just want to say, like, I really like, I think she's so smart, Tina Fey. And I really just think, you know, and really good, brilliant people do innovative things. And I just thought that was so incredibly innovative. To do that because, just think of it. We all have that kind of shit. And, like, for me to know that Tina Fey has that, it's like, wow, it's okay, you know? It's okay that some douchebag hates it when I have, you know, Cheryl and Andy on for 3 hours.
Thank you.
Who's the douchebag?
Thank you.
Vera, the douchebag?
Thank you very, very much.
Okay, so Vera, I want to know, are there any particular movies that you sit down and watch and you're like, you know, I identify with that or that's me up there? Because I have one that I want to share, but I want you to go first.
Well, what really rang more true than that to me was a feeling, you know, this is a two-parter. I hate Tom Hanks with everything in me. I think we have that in common.
Yeah, I think we can all agree on that.
He's a talentless hack who has, for some reason, garnered.
He's got a garnered. It's got to do with his cock, I guess.
Well, whatever reason he's garnered, but at the same time, I have always felt that he stole my career.
How?
Because my career path was going exactly along the same lines that his was, up until the time that he got Bosom Buddies. And when he got Bosom Buddies, and for some reason, he, instead of Peter Scolari, who was actually the better actor.
I always thought so, too, and much better.
Yeah, absolutely.
Looking. I totally agree.
A much better actor, but Peter Scolari has gone, of course, into obscurity, and Tom Hanks, we know where he's gone. Because that's the serendipitous nature of this business. It really doesn't matter how much talent you have. It matters if you're in the right place at the right time. That's
with
all that
right
matters.
People.
Yeah, with the right, well, that's being in the right place. You're automatically with the right people. Mm-hmm. And so I always, as I watch Tom Hanks' career go along, I have a, you know, I just always felt like his career path would have been mine had he not come along. I don't know how to explain it, and I know it's a lot of sour grapes.
Perhaps you're really him. Now, there's two possibilities. Number A, you're really him.
No, I'm
B,
not.
And this is you have to realize this is in my LSD tainted mind that is really truly defective of you, as you have pointed out accurately.
Yeah,
and witnessed.
The other possibility. Now you know that in this quantum mechanics or something like that, they have this thing where certain physicists believe that anything that's possible happens.
In string theory, right?
Is that what it is? Okay. Anything that can happen will happen. So in other words, there's like zillions of parallel universes with every possibility. So that means in some world, you're Tom Hanks in a parallel universe. You just need to get there, Vera, which is fine. There's plenty of people who would help you. The other thing is, I forgot.
Oh, okay. Well, there's that LSD again.
Exactly. It helps me block things that really need to stay repressed, I think.
No, I was just thinking about, I know this sounds retarded, but whatever. Like, every time I watch Funny Girl, I'm like, that's me! I know it's not.
Funny Girl is so good. Oh, my God. I can just listen to that soundtrack forever, the Broadway and the movie.
Yeah, I picked it for my movie club pick of the week this week.
So,
and it's so one of those
saying,
movies I can watch.
You're saying that you feel like Ziegfeld?
No, like I just think everybody, I mean, not just me, but the reason I identify with it is like I feel like they're like I'm going to have a Nicky Arnstein. And, you know, for some reason, it just seems I just identify with that.
It's kind of like what Vera said. That's where your life should have gone.
Yeah, well, hopefully still will go, but not with all the tragedy, or at least kind of like Judy Garland. Like, I really feel like had I continued down the road of my addiction and been involved in performance, that would have been my life.
Oh, I would have been dead. That'd be easy.
You know, not necessarily to that height, but that path would have been mine of being, like, if you listen to the tapes of Judy Garland, those tapes. I really can just so understand her sick mind. Which...
You know, I'm just tired of her getting all the attention because she died. I much more appreciate Liza Minnelli. I mean, she survived all that shit. You know, she's still alive.
And she keeps coming back. She keeps coming back.
I mean, she's, you know, it's easy. Anybody can die when they're still looking. Well, she didn't look the greatest, but anybody can die. Fucking Marilyn Monroe died pretty, and she's still everywhere. It was in the Mandarin Hotel, a 5-star hotel last night, even though it's in Chicago, I believe. But, you know, to go to the restaurant. And they have these beautiful Japanese paintings that have Marilyn Monroe in them. I can't describe them because I don't know enough of the terminology about those Japanese. You know what I'm talking about, where these, you know, it'll have some samurai guy and some Japanese writing. And then there's Marilyn in it as a young Norma Jean. You know, that shit wouldn't be there if she was, you know, if she had been able to live to be a hag. You know? Look at Liza. She is a smart woman. She gets up there on stage with those fat thighs and finds enough people that have bigger thighs than her to dance behind her to make her look smaller.
It just, I think it just pays tribute to the fact that our culture loves, you know, tragedy.
But they don't look at the right side. They don't look at the fact that she's a survivor of tragedy. It almost like, I feel like people look at her and they're like poking fun at her and looking like she's a weak person.
Oh, she has become a joke. Absolutely, she's become a joke. But once again, she's come back again. You know, she's got another show now.
Right. And look at Joan Rivers. Perfect example. Did you hear her on Terry Gross last week?
No, I didn't know she was on Terry Gross.
It might have been a repeat. But she talked about how Joan Rivers has given so much advice that I found useful, truly. One of the things she's like said, you know, if you want to succeed in show business, you have to be smart. The other thing she said the other day is, another thing she said, that's not this one, but she said, anything that's wrong with you today, if there's something that's driving you nuts and is the biggest problem in your life, you don't know how you're going to solve it, she said, I guarantee in 1 year you'll laugh at it. True for me. Now, next thing is that she said she has to keep reinventing herself. She said she's working more than ever. She named off all these things that she's doing, all these acts and all this other crap. She's got a Michael Jackson face, but she's working her ass off. She's doing great because she keeps reinventing. She said, when you're a performer, when you stop reinventing, you're dead. If you're a writer, you don't have to do that. But if you're a performer, you have to keep reinventing or you're dead. Which explains
it's kinda like,
why I'm
dead. Like Margaret Cho, don't you think? Like she needs to reinvent herself because she just, you know, did the same thing. Same thing with Kathy Griffin. She's gonna have to.
I don't know. I don't know enough about those two. I mean, I've seen Margaret Cho's act only once, so I have nothing to compare it to. But like Dame Edna, she's a perfect example too. She doesn't change her act at all. Mm-mm. But then you have people like Madonna. I mean, who's you know, as much as I can't stand her, and I can't, she reinvents. She sure.
Yeah, but you know what's interesting about her is I think she's gotten to the point now where, like, the reinventing herself is the standard, and thereby...
she keeps, yeah,
she's not doing anything new.
Yeah, know? Well, actually, her reinventions haven't been all that inventful lately, anyway.
Now, Ethel Merman was in her 50s.
Hand. What's that? Ethel Merman?
Ethel Merman was in her 50s when she did Mad World.
Oh, okay.
Not to put a complete halt and screeching halt to this
late
conversation.
50s, that's okay. You can always Merman.
Yeah, because I know there was some crazy queen out there that was sitting there the whole time going, God, when are they going to get back to Ethel?
Oh, no. They already posted the correction. Trust me. It's already in the approval queue. I guarantee it. They're like, you stupid fucking bitches.
Yes, the release date of Mad World was November 7th, 1963, and Ethel Merman was approximately...
Oh, I loved her in that film. I mean, she's just, you know.
Merman was great.
Did you hear the apocryphal story? It's not apocryphal because Milton Berle told it himself on the DVD extras that... That you know how Ethel Merman beat the crap out of Milton Berle with a purse banging over his head?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. In the movie?
Well, yeah, in the movie. She just hits the shit out of him. Well,
Mother, please. With all due respect, this is too much. Give Mr. Hawthorne the keys or we'll never get there.
Yeah, too bad.
Madam, I must say that I find your attitude somewhat less than helpful.
What's all this got to do with you, if you don't mind telling me?
Well, if we have quite decided to withdraw from this affair, you might reasonably be expected to hand me back my keys so that at least I could press on.
You keep out of this. Now, for the last time, are we going to call Sylvester or not?
Give us those keys. Give us those keys. I don't care where you have them. I'm going to get them.
How
give us those
dare
keys.
You.
Give us the keys.
You just take one more step
I'll
towards
take another
me.
Step.
I'm warning you.
You warning me. I've been waiting
you're
for this for years.
You're going to be sorry.
Give me the keys.
You're going to get it.
I'm going to get it.
Oh. Emily!
Stay in the car, Emily.
She kept all kinds of things in the purse. It was supposed to be empty. And but she had jewelry and bracelets and crap in it. And so when she beat the crap out of him, it raised a lump and everything. And he said for years, she would ask when they, because they didn't really like each other, when they saw each other, she'd ask, how's your head? And he would say, go to hell. That was their greeting.
That's great. You know about her famous autobiography where she did a chapter on her marriage to Ernest Borgnine? And it was a
Tell
blank
us.
Page.
It was a.
It was just a blank page.
That's great. And of course, Ernest Borgnine's famous, very, very recent television faux pas. Did you see that or hear that?
No.
I've actually seen it.
No, what was that?
He's on a talk show, and I can't remember. It's one where they're all sitting around a couch. It was like one of those morning shows or something, and. One of the people said, Ernest, you know, how do you stay so vibrant and young? Because, you know, you're in your late 80s and you're just vibrant. And he said, well, I can't tell you. I can't tell you.
Yeah.
And he said, and he leaned over to the guy sitting next to him. He leaned over and whispered in his ear to a completely open microphone, I masturbate a lot.
Did he do it on purpose?
No, he really thought he was whispering. I masturbate a lot.
Wow, that's encouraging. I didn't know you could masturbate when you're in your 80s. It must take
well,
a long time.
You can. It's just that you pass out after you're done. You know, you have a coronary.
That's all right.
I say as long as, you know, if you got a fleshlight, it won't take long at all.
Well, seriously?
Wanda still has your you never told us details of your fleshlight.
What kind of details do you want?
Well, what
Does
color
it have a
is
name?
It? Does it have a name?
Do you
I
wash
put a little
it?
Wig on it. I wash it every 3 weeks. No.
Oh, good.
We have this sex shop called Cupid's Treasures in Chicago, and for months it said they had like a countdown to the fleshlight. The fleshlight is coming in 3 months and 27 days. The fleshlight is coming in 6 weeks.
Was this like, before it was big or something? Because you can get it
no,
online.
No, this is past when we talked about it on the show, so no.
Huh.
For all I know, they're still waiting for it.
Well, because I have friends, they're like, I can't find it anywhere. I'm like, go online. Good Christ. It's called the internet.
Uh-huh.
No matter how you can pick like games. What race you want and what. No, I'm kidding. But you can get very specific.
Well, you can get either a vagina or an anus or a mouth, right?
Is that right?
You can get a mouth. You can get a vagina. You can get an anus, or you can get a nondescript private hole, so that lest somebody should find out that you have a fleshlight.
Yeah, they find your fleshlight and they find your orientation all at the same time.
Which doesn't make any sense. Like,
because girls have anuses.
Well, I know. That's the thing.
No, see, that's Kellogg. Somebody from the Kellogg School of Business is the one that's behind this, because that's smart. That's like only MBAs know to do something like that.
Yeah. Just have a nondescript one.
Right.
So that you're not caught in the act of... Like, if you're a homosexual and you like the vaginas, you know, we wouldn't want people to find that out.
Her vagina.
Strangely enough, the program has veered off track towards, bits and pieces yet again. All right, so what other topics have you guys been ranting and raving about that nobody really gives a shit about?
Well, we've been thrown
facetiously.
We've been thrown a bone, in essence, by the fact that Obama chose a openly gay clergyman to give an invocation on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial.
Is that so? I didn't know.
Yes.
That.
Oh yeah, yes. V. Gene Robinson, the openly gay bishop, Episcopalian bishop, who's basically responsible for, or I should say, whose selection as bishop essentially has ripped the Episcopal Church apart, has been given the opportunity to do the invocation at the beginning of inaugural week at the Lincoln Memorial.
Okay, but the creepy guy is still doing the. What is the creepy guy doing, the one we hate? What is
he's doing the actual inaugural ceremony invocation, I believe.
You know what? That's fine. I don't care. That's fine.
You know what's funny, though? If you just step back from sort of an anthropological or more sociological standpoint, I was watching, because I keep track of all the news for Big Gay News, and you know when they announced Rick Warren, of course, the gays were crazy, angry, and rightfully so.
Right.
But then he announces that V. Gene Robinson is going to...
Vagina?
Vagina Gene Robinson. V. Gene.
Jesus Christ. Is that like Vaginal Cream Davis? Vagina?
Gene Robinson. Anyway, the Christian news sites went apeshit, and they're all like, you know... Obama bows to gay, you know, mafia, all that kind of shit. So it's kind of like...
At least it's the mafia that got him elected.
Well, and at least, you know, it's not people based on ideology. It's actual people who are just who they are anyway. But you know what I mean? There is sort of that notion of like, you got to wonder, did they know? Because they had to know when they appointed Rick Warren that this was going to piss off the gays. Don't you think? That somebody in his administration would have said,
you know, people make mistakes at all levels.
Oh, I don't think it's a mistake. I think it's very well thought out. I think that he's making sure that he keeps as many people happy as he can. He's already alienated the Christian right to some extent by virtue of winning. And so go ahead.
But what I think his miscalculation was, because I know where you're going and I agree with that, but I think his miscalculation was not having the gay part of it already straightened out, anticipating the gay reaction, putting the guy on the Lincoln Memorial steps at the same time so that he wouldn't have to have this giant outrage for so long.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's what shows me they didn't really cut.
Well, yeah, because why would you, because your goal should be to appease both sides, not piss both sides off. So.
Right.
This just seemed like a response, like, okay, well, we pissed off the gays, so let's piss off some evangelicals.
I'm just so tired of American politics, you know, and I've become so jaded, particularly in this election, ironically, because it's just, I've really, and part of it, I guess, is just me maturing, even though I'm already almost 60, but the fact that you, in America, it's, you just can't have a leader that sticks to principle. There's just too many fucking people, I guess. I mean, God, why can't we just have a leader that has principles and sticks to them?
Because he won't be the leader.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I find that disheartening.
Well, join the club, Madge. Join the club. Yeah. I've been disheartened since Ronald Reagan. And
I
became involved again in all of this mire and mess because of you.
I'm just so sick of all, and I know that, and I'm so sick of all the fucking merchandising on Obama post-election, pre-election. Okay, that's fine. You know, you want to get the guy elected. But the way that they're making him into this, well, he's already a brand.
I was going to say make it.
For one thing, you know, but all these people that are wearing these bling bling T-shirts of him, you know, he's the president. Now he's the president. He needs to be critiqued. He needs to be, mm-hmm. you know, treated with fairly in terms of criticism. Mm-hmm. People shouldn't be biased just because they voted for him. You know, you have to.
You mean you haven't bought the Obama coins?
No, the Obama plate.
They have them at fucking Walgreens. They have these things that may see people looking at them. And, you know, and what really bothers me, too, is they keep fucking asking for more money.
Yeah.
Every day is an email from Michelle Obama or Barack Obama. And asking for more fucking money. For what?
So there's
they're basically selling seats to the inauguration. You know, it used to be shit like that was illegal, but since it's a lottery, I guess it's not. Remember Reagan was selling, you know, basically selling nights in the Lincoln bedroom? Remember?
No, that was Clinton.
Whoever. Okay. But, you know, this is just, this is a smaller form of the same thing.
Everyone who contributed money to the Obama campaign has gotten this beautiful, frameable, engraved invitation to the inauguration ceremonies. Of course, they're the public inauguration ceremonies that anybody can go to, but they've gotten an engraved invitation if they contributed to the campaign. But in the envelope, along with the engraved invitation, is a brochure. Is a brochure for merchandise. You can get Obama cups and Obama blankets and Obama.
Well, listen, this isn't a surprise, though. I mean, these people were.
I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying.
It was very clear from the beginning that these were brand right, message focused people. And in fact, one of the biggest criticisms I've heard thus far is that people are saying this White House. If you think the Bush administration's White House was, you know, had their. Talking points in a very focused, controlled manner. Just wait, because this is going to be a very closed in terms of leakage and
I don't know
communicating with the media. White House.
I don't know. But I do know that I really enjoyed Bush's last press conference.
It was a laugh riot.
You know, I thought if that had been his attitude since he started being president. Things would have been a lot better. I mean, I can't say he would have been a good president because he's still a moron. But if he had been that candid from the start, imagine. You know? I mean, when he admitted that mission accomplished was kind of a dumb thing, and then he did that, it was almost a queen out thing that he did. Poor me, poor me. You know, he was like acting like a big old Nelly at the gay bar.
Mm-hmm.
Comments?
I think it's hideous that you're casting aspersion on gay bar Nellies.
Well, that's very common lesbian behavior.
Okay. Did we get our soundbite yet or not?
No, I got you. I got three for you. I don't have any Wanda yet.
It's amazing how you're able to find.
Oh, can I tell you?
What I've taken to do, and please save your thought, Wanda, because this is quick. Promise, quick. What I've taken to do is I have a notepad in front of me, and as soon as you've said something, I mark down the time on my time clock up here. That's going my little. Yeah, so go ahead, Wanda. What were you going
to
say, Dolly?
No, I was just trying to think of a funny story. I talked on my program yesterday about blowing my nose as I was walking to the bus, but I was doing a farmer blow, you know, where you put one finger up to your
nostril. Oh, no, you didn't.
No, do it. Okay, tell the story. That's a good story to tell, because I do that all the time.
That's disgusting.
No, I learned it when I went running.
I learned it when I was training for the AIDS ride, but go ahead.
Why is my sound modulating like
I have to get my vagina out for this story, but go ahead.
Okay, so I was walking to the bus stop the other day, and I'm in the habit, I don't carry around a Kleenex or a hanky or anything like that, so I'm in the habit of, you know, just by about two-thirds of the way to the bus stop, it's really cold. And I'm, but on the inside, like, you know, because I'm all covered up and everything, I'm like all runny. And if I don't blow my nose before I get on the bus, I'm just going to drip the entire time.
Right, post-nasal drip.
Correct.
Suck it back and swallow it.
Ew,
no,
gross.
That'll kill your sinuses for days.
Yes, not good. It'll totally impact your sinuses. So, about two-thirds of the way there, I pulled down my scarf. I go, and you know, then I move along. I usually do a little look to the left. A yeah. little look to the right, just to make sure I'm not, you know, being.
But you
viewed.
Do cover the finger with one nostril at a time, right?
Yes. Oh, yes. So okay. I go, and then, okay.
Yeah.
Well, it was so cold yesterday.
Oh no. Yeah.
That I went to do my, you know, usual thing, uh-huh. and about a third of what normally comes out of my nose came out. And then the other two-thirds froze to my nose.
You gotta be kidding me.
I swear to God.
That would be so much better than the Mary Tyler Moore opening. Like, if you had your own show. That would be the best, rather than the hat twirl, the nose spew. Oh, I got boogers, stalactites.
So, and then I tried to wipe it off of my nose, but it is so cold. This is how cold it is. It that liquid freezes on contact. So every time God. I would wipe it, it would streak across my face and freeze.
Oh, Jesus, God.
So I was just making it worse by doing that. So all I
so
could
it was
do
like this snot bust.
Looks like a snail had a party on your face.
So I just covered myself up with my scarf and didn't remove it till I got to work.
I think that's performance art.
That's could vile.
It was disgusting.
I love this. I love doing that blow. I that's colder than I think I've ever had to deal with. Then, because I don't think I do that too. Because I ride my bike everywhere, even when it's cold. Mm-hmm. So I always have to do the schnot, and it's easy when you're on the bike because you have wind. So yeah. You do the schnot, and you know, if you have enough wind, it doesn't blow onto your coat. It just blows onto some
unsuspecting. A passerby.
Right.
Yes.
No,
I've been having such sinus problems, though, so that's why I really enjoy that. I've been having such sinus problems lately, you have no idea. Because traveling back and forth between North and South Chicago, it's driving me crazy. I use the neti pot. I've tried every possible remedy, and I really don't like to take cold medicines. I hate the stuff. So I do as much without that as I can, and I manage to avoid them. But my God, it's just been horrible. But anyway, the end. I found this thing that's very useful, and it's at Whole Foods. I forget what it's called. It's like Irma's. It's like one of those. It's just a stick that has like menthol that you sniff.
Well, I was going to say, what's the problem that you're
God,
stuffing?
You know, that's Vicks. Vicks sticks were around when I was a child back in the Stone Age.
That's what I was trying to think of, but this is like a homeopathic version. It's the same thing, but it's all natural.
I never have problems blowing my nose because I just suck it back and swallow it.
Oh,
I don't.
Ew.
Well, see, my nose is clear, but the problem is the sinuses get clogged.
Yeah, but see, even when you go like, that doesn't get everything, so then it still rolls forward, right. And then you're fighting that all day, so you just got to, you know, be done with it. And
well,
I
you know
never...
what else? Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I've never been in a super cold climate for any prolonged period of time, so I don't know how my nose would be.
For this show that I will tell you, the only thing that my secret weapon when dealing with sinus pain, the last ditch effort, do you know what it is? When
getting
nothing
drunk?
Else works? No.
I crystal meth?
I have to masturbate my vagina.
Really?
Yes, that helps your nose?
It does, because I get this, it turns into a excruciating sinus headache, and when you masturbate, you get this huge burst of endorphins. They did a Grey's Anatomy about it, so it's true. And it's the only thing, because it's fast, but it's hard to masturbate your vagina, though, when you have a splitting headache. That's the tricky part.
Well, it's kind of like when I lift weights and I have a headache, then it, like, mm-hmm. just makes it worse, but, yeah.
Yeah. If I do yoga, it helps.
But yogurt. Yeah.
Anyway, so sinus headaches. We've just had some great topics today.
Really, truly, honestly.
It's been wonderful so far.
Wonderful.
Now, what's funny is I feel like this has been a really interesting show, but it's much more my kind of show. Because we've been talking about I Love Lucy, we've been talking about movies, we've been talking
I liked it too. It was a nice change of pace because I haven't been really into.
You know, I think there's something in the air, Madge, because I haven't either. I have struggled to put out my show, and usually it's really easy. And the last few times I've been like, oh, God, I cannot do this. I just can't.
I wanted to, what do I want to? Do I want to?
What do you, darling? What do you want to do? Share with us.
Just say it. Spit it out.
Just let it go, Wanda. Let it go.
So, more sex.
Oh, you just want more sex?
Yes.
Are you getting laid?
No, I haven't been laid. Well, I haven't laid or been laid in, God, it's been, since December.
I haven't since yesterday. I'm really getting tired.
Oh, that's because you've
it.
Got a man. Excuse a woman. Me? Woman.
Clarissa.
Woman.
She's got so Clarissa. How is Clarissa, Madge?
She's wonderful. She's out walking on the beach, you know, because she didn't want to be a victim of
Katrina.
I told her, she's like, do you want me to leave? I said, no, you can stay, but you have to realize I'm going to refer to you as my girlfriend. She said, okay, I'll leave then.
Okay, by the way, for those of you who live in warmer climates, I don't need to get emails telling me how beautiful and warm it is in your climate. Thank you.
Right, because it sure is cold here.
That's funny, because I just said on my show that because I was talking about the weather again, that I would always do a disclaimer up front about all the people that are listening to me in the cold climates. I'm sorry for this, but I'm going to bitch about the fact that it's hot. But then I thought, you know, it's only fair that it's monstrous to live in below zero. I can't imagine it. I would never want it. So I can't imagine the difficulties that it truly gives you. But also, if you've ever lived in 105, the issues that come up for us are just as a pain in the ass. And you know, it sucks. It absolutely sucks. So I'm not doing
it. And I will say this, because I've spent summers in Miami where it's horrible. It's hell on earth. It is humidity and it is heat. And it is, I honestly can say I prefer a Chicago winter over a Miami summer, because at least you can put on more clothes in the winter.
Right. You can only get so naked.
Just because you can put on clothes, like I find I just never get warm. Like I can soak in a hot tub for a half hour and I'm still cold. Like
that's
I just
you're,
can't get.
You're the cold bitch. You're like the cold bitch at the office. Well,
what about
you have your own?
Like,
do you have your own space heater down there under your?
No,
pants?
But I need to get one. Good
yeah,
God.
You're the cold. Don't you know every office has the cold office bitch, the one that always makes it turn up the heat and everybody
else
is like.
Yeah, that's me,
because
I literally will. I would turn right now. It's on like 75, and I would turn it up to 80 if I could.
I don't know what to tell you. Were you like this over when you were overweight or no?
No, when I was overweight, I was always uncomfortable in the slightest bit of heat or humidity.
Okay, so here's the thing. There was a report this week that for the first time in history, or herstory, there are more obese people than there are overweight people in America.
And your point would be?
I want comments.
Fatty.
I want feedback.
I'm that's fat. Where we're headed.
What?
I'm
that's
fat, but I'm not morbidly obese.
So you're not.
I thought you were
obese.
I'm not morbidly. No, I'm not obese. According to my BMI, I'm not.
Oh, so
but I'm fat.
So you checked your BMI since last?
Yeah, it's disgusting. It's repulsive, and it's disgusting, and I'm embarrassed by it. Because you must understand, my two sweet lovies. Yes. You must understand that I've been battling weight my entire life, and I have been everything.
Oh, honey, that's something the three of us have in common.
No, okay, but I have been everything. I have been so bone thin that people thought I was ill, and
so
I
think we've all sort of been
we all
around
have
the scale.
That in common. That's one thing the three of us. Vera poke you?
No, I just...
I wanted her to shut up, so...
Surprise.
I gave her a shot.
Yeah. We should just pretend we're all... We should start pretending we're all in the same room. Create that theater of the mind.
Well, we are in the same room, and if you don't stop with dousing yourself in all of that perfume, Madge, it doesn't cover up the fish smell of your twat. I'm sorry. And it stinks in here, and I can barely breathe.
Can you pass the peanuts?
It's too late, but I'll stop.
Here. Oh, I ate them all.
Oh, thank you.
Here's some pistachios.
Could you take your hand off my thigh?
I didn't know that was your thigh.
But, you know, Vera, to tell you, I mean, I have, in the time I've done this show, I've been in the obese category.
I've seen pictures of you in all stages of weight loss and weight gain, and you've never looked obese ever. You've looked round-faced.
I was obese. Like
you were Della a fatty. Reese. You were truly a fatty. But you know what?
Horrible.
That was no. But you're not now. You're beautiful. I mean, now
but
your
see,
body's
what you see
beautiful.
In pictures are not necessarily represented. Wanda was never that fat.
No,
I mean, I saw her when she was the fattest.
I think you saw me just about as I was peaking.
She was a little bit chubsy wubsy. She was never somebody I would see and say that's a fat person.
Well, if you
and
look
I,
at,
and
I don't
would
remember.
Say that to a lot.
I don't remember where the picture was, but somewhere you've got a picture of before and after sitting on a couch.
Yeah. No, okay. I certainly was a hefty hideaway, but.
And that one with the pants is quite striking as well. Is that? I didn't even know if that was real.
Oh yeah, the after.
Yeah, where you're holding your pants?
Yeah, Cheryl likes to say that I somehow airbrushed.
Okay, let's see. 58 minutes and 45 seconds.
No, Cheryl was mentioned at the very beginning, actually.
She was?
Yeah.
Because I didn't get to say I love her so much.
Oh, fuck.
It's time to go. I'm not the moderator, but it's time
True.
To go. I'm the
Well, Thank ladies, God. You know, I would much rather sit here and talk about me and Madge and Vera. Less so, for
Hateful.
Hours and hours.
Hateful
on
fucking whore.
Into the future. But you, my lovely lady listeners and gal pals and bubbies, what do you call them? I don't know.
Loveys.
Assholes.
Restaurant workers.
That's a topic we have to bring up on the next show because I got a lot to say about that.
Oh, great. Lou Dobbs, brought to you by Vera Charles on next week's episode of Eat This Hot Show. I'm Wanda Wisdom from WandaWisdom.com, and we've got Madge Weinstein of YeastRadio.com.
Oh, Lou.
And in the center square, Vera Charles at VeraSpeaks.com.
Nobody knows the trouble I've seen.
Racist.
Mr. Grant.
Oh, Mr. Grant.
I
we will
hate
be here
spunk.
Again on another episode of Eat This Hot Show next week. Feel free to listen to our old episodes online at eatthishotshow.com. If you have retarded questions or pics of your jubblies, we'd like to see them.
Unless Mevio is taking them off.
And we'll have a great day, you too. Bye!
Bye!
Bye.
So, and then I tried to wipe it off of my nose. It would streak across my face and freeze.